We get in for education and information for the lower values of life in schools and colleges, but very few places give you information for the higher values of life. And this knowledge is there in the scriptures, especially in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad Gita. So this Krishna Consciousness Movement was founded by the Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, as some of you may know, appeared on the planet in 1896. And when he was young, just about 21 years old, he met the great spiritual teacher of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared on the planet 524 years ago, had predicted that the holy names of Krishna would be chanted in every town and village of the world. And other great sages such as Bhaktivinoda Thakur had predicted that a day would come when nationalities of all nationalities would come to Sri Dhammayapur. Have any of you been to Sri Dhammayapur? I'd like to invite all of you. That's the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's in West Bengal, about 3 hours drive from the airport. ISKCON has about 1,000 acres there. Very big project. There are about 4,000 devotees who reside there permanently. And there are devotees from 80 countries who reside there permanently. So it's truly an international environment and atmosphere. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted that this chanting would be done in every corner of the globe. And great sages had predicted that a day would come when people from different parts of the world would come to Sri Dhammayapur and chant and dance. Today that has come true. So Bhaktisiddhanta Ji, in the very first meeting, which Srila Prabhupada could see, this young man, energetic man, spoke very good English, spoke British English, to take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message to the Western countries. And he gave this instruction. The spiritual master's instruction should be one's life and soul. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, just like you cannot separate the body from the soul, a disciple cannot separate himself from the instructions of the spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada endeavored to establish Krishna consciousness. And he was finally able to establish Krishna consciousness. The Bodh Center was opened in New York in 1963. And now there are centers in every corner of the globe. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada translated nearly 100 books in English language, which today have been translated in over 70 international languages. then the essence of this philosophy is summarized in the Bhagavad Gita. So I'm going to read to you two verses from the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita, as you know, has 18 chapters, 700 verses. And these two verses describe, and these two verses present, the following information. Patsam pasmam param tuyam yume bhakti payachati sarnam bhakti partham ashnami prayatatmana. The translation is, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf of flower, a fruit of water, I will accept it. You want to repeat after me? If one offers me with love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. You may say, boy, that's good news. I'm glad that Krishna didn't ask me to surrender my bank account and my Mercedes car. He said, just because leaf or water, we'll come with that. And in the next verse, Krishna says, yat karoshi yat asnasi, yat devoti didasi yat, yat tarasuri kordiya, yat karishama tarapuna. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. You can speak after me. Whatever you do,
whatever you do,
whatever you eat,
whatever you eat,
whatever you offer,
whatever you offer,
or give away,
or give away,
and whatever austerities you perform,
whatever austerities you perform,
do that,
do that,
for son of Kunti,
for son of Kunti,
as an offering to me,
as an offering to me.
So Bhagavad Gita is a book of education that guides mankind how to act. Just like when you buy any expensive product, along with that you get a manual that tells you do's and don'ts, am I right? How to use it. When you buy your car, you get a manual with it. So similarly, when you get this rare human birth, you also get a manual. And that manual is the Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita is meant to give us guidance, just like we pursue material education, am I right? We value material education, and we all want the best in material education. You want your children to have the best of material education. And we don't deny, we should, no problem. But along with that, we should also cultivate spiritual education. If both are cultivated, then there will be harmony in society. But if we are just pursuing material education and no spiritual education, then there will be an imbalance. And how is that imbalance reflected? Gets reflected in people having bad habits, bad character, loose character, immorality, etc. You can see that all over the world our leaders are complaining, we're not producing men of character. Our population is concerned that the leaders are dishonest, corrupt, etc. And all this is there. And in the end, people are suffering. And all this is there because we lack spiritual education. So Bhagavad Gita gives us guidance. And someone may say, why should we emphasize so much the importance of the Bhagavad Gita? There's a reason. Bhagavad Gita is spoken by whom? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Lord is speaking. This is not spoken by some politician or some philosopher. Spoken by God Himself. And God Himself spoken by. Just like a child, when he leaves home, it gives the parents great distress. Am I right? So similarly, we have left a real home. Who knows the address of your real home? The postal address is Kera Vaikuntha. Because it means a place where there's no anxiety at all. But then we have temporary addresses now. In this body, your address is in Atlanta, and you may be here short term. Then your address may shift over to India or some other part of the world. But this material world is called Kuntaloka, a place where there is nothing but misery. Now, Krishna, the creator, the source of everything material and spiritual, our Supreme Father, our well-wisher, has explained that this material world is a place of misery called Kuntaloka, where seven types of miseries are unavoidable. We would love to avoid them, but unfortunately, even with all the money you have, all the power you have, you can't. What are the seven types of miseries? Birth. Is birth a pleasurable experience?
No.
When a child is born, we distribute sweets. In the American society, they distribute cigars. And in some places, they distribute vodka bottles when a child is born. But it's a very painful experience. That's when a child is born, crying. Modern science has not been able to explain this. But the great sages in the world, Kandali Bhagavatam explains, that a child in an unbearable position of distress, he's anxious to get out of the mother's womb, and he comes out crying. Then, there are diseases. Does anybody like getting disease? Now people may say, oh, now we have Obama's new healthcare plan. 6 million people have signed up. We don't have to worry at all. You may have the best insurance plan, okay? But the insurance plan only tells you it's going to pay part of your bills. Does it say, okay, the insurance company is also going to bear the pain now? Does it tell you that?
No.
There's no plan that covers pain, is it? Buy this plan and you won't get any pain. They have in medical science now a new branch of medicine called pain management. And now you have doctors who specialize in pain management. So I was speaking to one such doctor recently, and I said, now you have this new branch of science called pain management. How do you manage pain? Pain is pain. And he said, yes, that's a fact. They call it pain management. But how can they, all they can do is, okay, take this pill at this time, this pill at this time, and then that will give you the relief for a few hours, and then that will give you relief for you. So disease is there, is that right? America, no doubt, has the best medical setup in the world. And even if you don't have coverage, the hospitals are allowed to treat you by law. If you show up at the doorstep. But still, with the best of medical facilities, do you see that people are not falling sick? No, the doctors are busier than ever before. The disease is there. Then there's old age. Does anyone like old age? Let's be honest. We're all youngsters in this audience, huh? Okay, there's no old man, is there? Actually, we're all old. With the passage of each day, we are edging towards death. But we don't realize that. In the old days, now they have these stylish calendars. But in the old days, they had those date pads, you know. Let's say 29th of March is over. So they would just pull that sheet off. You remember that?
Yes.
the eighth prayer. So the Bhagavatam says that's exactly what's happening. Today is what, 30th?
31st.
Okay. 31st. So the 30th is lower. So today means one day less left in your life. But we're not thinking those terms, we really. We think that we will live on eternally. Nobody likes old age. If you tell an old man how young he looks, he feels flattered, all right? I really look that young. And if you tell a young man how old he looks, he feels offended, all right? Yes. We have that in North America, these anti-aging shops. You know what's an anti-aging shop? In an anti-aging shop, whereas now in many countries, especially Canada, the bulk of the population is going into the elderly group. Now they have an economic boom in anti-aging shops. And what paraphernalia do these shops sell? Paraphernalia that makes you look younger. They'll give you 20 types of hair dyes. If your hair is falling, nothing to worry. They have good technology to cover up your hair loss. They have enough makeup, paraphernalia to hide the wrinkles on your cheeks. But anti-aging shops can temporarily cover up. People do a lot of cosmetic surgery these days. You know which doctors today are making the most money in the market? Those who do cosmetic surgery. Everyone wants cosmetic surgery to look younger and more attractive. So, we don't want old age. And we think that we can stall old age by some material device. And then, does anyone like death? They say that there's only one business that never gets into recession. We have economic recession every 2 years. The cycle goes up, goes down. And may have recession in the employment industry, in the computer industry, in your IT industry. Imagine most of you are IT people, am I right? But you never have recession in funerals, where people are all the time. So, does anyone like that? Nobody likes. In addition, there are three other types of miseries. Miseries caused by the mind. The mind troubles us in various ways. You see your neighbor with a better car than yourself, you feel bad, doesn't it? See, what about you're a very good car. I was talking to a chartered accountant a few months ago. He came to see me. That was in India. He was driving a 2 crore rupee car. So I told him in India, traffic being what it is, whether you drive a Maruti 800 or a Porsche or whatever, you still move more or less at the same speed. He said, but I have this car not for myself, to impress my clients. My clients, before they see me, they want to see my car. So I have to have an expensive car to show them how successful I am. So, this is all a byproduct of American culture that got exported all over the world. The American culture was in American English, keeping up the Joneses. You have to be a step ahead of your neighbor. This is called rat race competition. So the mind troubles you in various ways. If some relative or friend passes away, again the mind troubles us. So the mind is troubling us in various ways. And then you have mutual nature, drought, blood, etc. Like they say that this year, the winter in North America has been exceptionally long, isn't it? Of course, in Atlanta, the weather is pretty good. But I was on the East Coast in Washington, New York area. It was terrible over there, even though officially it was spring. So mutual nature troubles us in various ways. And other entities also trouble us. So basically, what Krishna said, this material world is nothing but a place of misery where everyone is going through the cycle of birth and death. So Krishna says, get out of this material world. But we are so obstinate, we say, no, I love this material world. The material world actually is no place for this life. What does Bhagavad Gita say? Bhagavad Gita teaches us how to act for the pleasure of the Lord. Why are we concerned about the Lord's pleasure? By pleasing the Lord, we automatically please ourselves. Since we are part and parcel of the Lord, just like when you put food in the stomach, you automatically nourish the whole body. So similarly, or when you water the root of the tree, you may have a tree with many branches and leaves, but you need to nourish only the root, and then the water reaches every corner. So when we please the Lord, and what pleases the Lord? We follow His instruction. And why does it please the Lord? Because the Lord wants us to get out of the material investments. And Krishna teaches us the science of devotion. Now in text 26 that we read, Krishna is saying, he's showing us how easy devotional service is. We all have to act and please some master, alright? Let's say you don't want Krishna as your master. Let's say you say, why should I serve Krishna? Why shouldn't I just? So if you don't want to accept the Lord as your master, then who becomes your master? I want to ask this question to someone from the audience. Let's say, they say, we're not going to surrender to Krishna. Okay, good, be our guest. And who do you mean surrender to? Then you remain surrendered to in spiritual world technology, it is called Maya. But in our day-to-day life, it means we remain surrendered to our senses. The eyes will say, I want to see something beautiful. The legs will say, I want to walk or drive to the movie house. We have to surrender to someone. So why not surrender to a personality that is infallible with our well-wisher and who guides us to the path of perfection? So Krishna has established in the Bhagavad Gita that the real goal of life should be to execute devotional service. Executing devotional service doesn't mean that one has to abandon society or family, etc. All it means is you have to act in a manner that is according to the scriptural guideline, and that will enable us to achieve goal of life. So Krishna is saying, offer me with love and devotion. If I was to ask you, do you have love and devotion for the Lord?
Yes.
I would say no. We don't have any love and devotion. We are too contaminated. We would like to develop love and devotion. But at the moment we don't have. We are too contaminated. We have unlimited material desires. We have unlimited material in 24 hours. How many minutes do you think about Krishna? Probably not even 1 second. You were too busy thinking about your family, children, business. Is that all right? Let's be honest. We have no love and devotion. Our love and devotion is just towards materialistic activities. Some of us may not be as gross as others. Some of us, while some may be beef eaters, meat eaters, we may be strict vegetarians. Doesn't matter, that's good. But the point is, by and large, may not thread surrendering to Krishna's instruction. You want to do what my mind says is right. But Krishna has established in the Bhagavad Gita the importance of devotional service. And devotional service means serving the Lord according to the direction of the scriptures. So Krishna is saying, offer me with love and devotion. But we have no love and devotion at the moment. The next question is, can we develop this love and devotion? Yes? No?
Yes.
If we could not develop the love and devotion, we would not be here. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, and Sri Krishna Prabhupada, to take this message to the Western countries. And Prabhupada labored hard and took it to every corner of the globe. And today there are literally hundreds of thousands of devotees all over the world. For all people like you, but they chant, read, do business, do jobs, etc. How does that come? By practicing the process of devotional service. As some of you may know, we encourage people to chant Hare Krishna, isn't it? And then another name of ISKCON is the Hare Krishna movement. Why? Because we popularize the request, the chanting of the holy name to the Lord. Now, why do we say, oh, you can't do what you want to do, do what Krishna wants you to do? Well, that is a path to take. There are today many so-called religious preachers. But if you analyze their teachings, you will see that by and large, many of them are just saying what they want to say. They're not necessarily saying what's in the scripture. The Sanskrit word for scriptures is, what is it? Shastra. You heard that word before? Shastra. Shastra means scriptures. The Shastras were compiled by Vyasadeva, who is an incarnation of Godhead. The Lord incarnated as Vyasadeva, compiled the very text so that we could perfect our life by taking guidance from them. So the scriptures explain that we are all born in ignorance. You may have noticed that we recited this mantra at the commencement. Om Jnanti Manadasya Jnananjana Shrakya Chakshara Minitanyena Tasmai Shri Gravina. The English translation is, my dear Lord, I was born in ignorance. Is it true or false? Doesn't matter which part of the world you're born in. We're all born in ignorance. When you were born, you didn't know how to read and write. You didn't know a word about IT. But through the educational system, you gradually learned everything. Similarly, you're born in ignorance, but by the mercy of a saintly personality and a spiritual teacher, we become enlightened. Just like when there's darkness, you can't see anything. When light is injected, then you can see. So, similarly, we are born in ignorance. When we get enlightened by spiritual association and guidance. And when you meet a saintly person, sadhu, what is a sadhu? Sadhu can mean a male body, female body. Sadhu is essentially somebody who follows the scriptures and is basing his life based on the scriptures. And if you follow such a personality gives you guidance. Why do we tell people to chant Hare Krishna? Why? Not because Bhaktivinoda Swami had a craze for it. Because this is the conclusion of the scriptures. This chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, which is this Hare Krishna mantra, where is it descending from? is descending on the spiritual world. And the Lord incarnates in His own incarnation, thereby giving us a chance to chant His holy name and get purified. So by chanting the holy names of the Lord, studying the scriptures, taking part in bhakti vriksha programs, etc., we get purified. And when you get purified, it means you understand the importance of rendering devotional service. You understand the importance of associating with devotees. You understand the importance of using the real human birth for a happy cause. So, Krishna says, you can serve me according to your means. As I said, somebody who hears this translation from text 26 of the 9th chapter will say, boy, this is really great. Krishna, all he's asking for is a leaf of flower, food or water. Ah, this doesn't cost anything. At least Krishna not asking for my house or my bank balance or my jewelry. I can keep all that, am I right? What Krishna is saying is, he's making devotional service very simple for us. Even if you offer a leaf or a flower, or fruit or water, I will accept it. In other words, Krishna is hungering for our devotion. We lack devotion, and we need to cultivate devotion. And that is possible, that can be realized through this chanting process. This chanting of the holy name works wonders. Most of the people sitting in this audience are from an Indian background where you have exposure to chanting from a young age. But today in those parts of the world where people have never even heard of Krishna, where they were engaged in so many nonsense activities from a young age, today these individuals have become outstanding Mahatmas, so renowned. How? Just by chanting the holy names of the Lord. This chanting of the holy names of the Lord cleanses the heart. This chanting of the holy names of the Lord removes our false ego. And this chanting of the holy names of the Lord gives us real happiness or higher happiness. Happiness can be of various types. Let's say some people are addicted to drinking, smoking, illicit sex, gambling, etc. These are what you normally term as regular sources of happiness, am I right? But let's say you want to have free sex, free mixing, when you take drugs and all and so on. How much happiness can they give you? Can they give you? They may give you some instant relief. But in the end what happens? The disease becomes worse. Bad habits contribute or are the cause of our disease. Bad habits cause bondage. And bad habits also cost money. So by this chanting process, we cleanse the heart and we begin to cultivate a higher level of consciousness. So if we associate with devotees and chant, then that will cleanse the heart. That will create in you the spirit of devotion. Otherwise, to create the spirit of devotion is almost impossible. Now, in the next verse that we read, Krishna is further elaborating. We all do some activity or the other, isn't it? We have to do some activity or the other. So what is Krishna saying? Whatever you do, sometimes people say, if I read the Bhagavad Gita, if I bring the Gita home, then I won't feel like going to work. I won't feel like doing my studies, etc. That's wrong. If you live by the Gita, study the Gita, practice the Gita, then whatever action you do, you will do it in the spirit of detachment. Detachment from matter and attachment to the Supreme Lord. That is the recommended process. Just like we don't renounce activities. What we renounce is the negative aspect of an activity. You want to cure a disease, you take the medicine. The medicine is chanting and reading. So Krishna is saying, whatever you do, some of you may be an artist, someone may be a housewife, someone may be a student, someone may be a business magnate. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Do it for whom? For whose pleasure? Krishna's pleasure. Whatever you eat, we all need to eat something. In the fourth canto, you read the story of a devotee called Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj is very young age. When he was only 5 years old, he tried to sit on his father's lap. And as he tried to sit on his father's lap, his stepmother, to whom the father was very attached, pulled him down and said, "You can't sit there. You haven't taken birth from my womb." What she was saying is, "Before she died, take birth from my womb. Then you can sit on your father's lap." Dhruva was very offended. And he went crying to his mother. The mother had already heard what had transpired. So Dhruva was determined to look for God. And he went to look for God. And he performed extreme austerities. In the first month, he ate once in 3 days. What did he eat? Fruits and berries. Not those that are grown in California. The fruits and berries that are meant for the monkeys. Second month, he ate one in 6 days. Right. Third month, he stopped eating. He would drink once in 9 days. So Dhruva practiced extreme austerity. But that is not what is recommended. So here Krishna is saying, whatever you eat. So we all need to eat something, am I right? In the verse we read, Pastam Pastam Param Puram, Krishna is telling us what we should eat and what we should not eat. So Krishna recommends that we eat only prasad. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, if you eat without offering to me, you're eating only sin. But if we eat after offering to me, that is Krishna Prasad. Krishna Prasad is so powerful that just by eating Krishna Prasad, you can get purified. But Prabhupada first started this movement. He also introduced the Sunday love feast. And many people would come just to the feast, but they got so attracted to Prasad that eventually they became devotees. So Krishna said, whatever you eat, offer it to me. You may be a vegetarian. Being a vegetarian is safer than being a meat eater. But that's not enough. Because even if you're a vegetarian, you're killing species. Therefore, you have an alternative and offer everything to the Lord by some mantra. Then what you eat is the remnants of the known as prasad. So Krishna says, whatever you eat, do it as an offering unto me. Then he says, whatever you give away. So we all give away something. We earn money. We want to give something. Give something for the right cause. Give it away for a right cause. That is whatever austerity they perform, we all perform some austerities. We perform austerities, do it for the pleasure of the Lord, and do it as an offering unto me. So Krishna is encouraging us to execute the path of bhakti yoga. In the 18th chapter also, Krishna summarizes the Gita by saying, Bhaktya Mam, I can only be known by the path of devotional service. So this Krishna conscious movement is presenting very authentic philosophy. We are not presenting something that is concocted. We are not doing some cheap magic to attract people. Prabhupada gave us the real truth. Once somebody asked Prabhupada, can you do some magic? Because the general expectation is a saintly person will have some magical abilities. Prabhupada said, I can't do any magic. But one magic I've done. What was that? I have converted thousands of lectures to Brahman. Lecture means one is degraded who acts against the teachings of the Lord. And Brahmana means one who is leading his life based on his scriptural direction. So this Krishna conscious movement is teaching us the path of real happiness. Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam says, Nata vidum svati gatami vishnu. People do not know how real happiness can be formed. I was explaining to you earlier how people are taking the Krishna conscious process because it is very satisfying. If it wasn't satisfying, why would they take to it? In India you see thousands and thousands of people again getting converted to Christianity, especially in South India, and Islam and so on. But in most of the cases, people are converting. Why? They're getting some economic incentive. They're getting some bribe, whatever. In the olden days, people converted to Islam under the threat of a sword. But why are people taking the Krishna consciousness? We have no sword or money, because this is a very satisfying process. This process of chanting the holy name of the Lord is going on since time immemorial. Therefore, the great sages said, Gye thako vani thako sada hari bhoge thako. It doesn't matter whether you are a householder or a brahmachari, simply we should do chant the holy name of the Lord. We should endeavor to also understand what is the desire of the Lord. And that is to be realized by associating with saintly people. So in the Bhagavad Gita, we read the philosophy of life, beginning with, we are not this body. There is a spirit soul that is eternal. And in the 3rd and 5th chapter, Krishna explains the necessity of acting for the pleasure of the Lord. Do your duty, but in the spirit of detachment. Just like a lotus leaf is in water, but does not touch the water. So Krishna didn't say don't act. Arjuna was saying, no, I'm not going to take part in the battle. So many of my relatives, without respect, will die. And Krishna convinced him, as a kshatriya, you're duty bound to engage in the battle. So we may have different occupations, different duties. And becoming Krishna conscious doesn't mean you don't do those duties. All it means is you do it in a purified manner. So Krishna explains in the 3rd and 5th chapter the need to act for the pleasure of the Lord. And in the 4th chapter, Krishna gives the history of the Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna explains why he appears on the planet. Why does he appear? Yadai Yadahi. Dharmasya. I appear to establish religion. So Religion means the words of God. And Krishna also explains, religion means the words of God, and to understand the words of God, you need the instructions of the spiritual teacher. Sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called Dhyana Yoga. That is, control of the mind. Is the mind traveling us, or it doesn't travel anymore? Travel? In what way? What does the mind say? Desire. Accepting, rejecting. 1 minute, this is good. Yeah, that's enough, this is bad. Krishna says, make friends with the mind. The turbulent mind is our worst enemy. What does it mean, make friends with the mind? Make the mind do what the Lord wants us to do. You may conquer the wealth of the whole world, but if you have not conquered your mind, you've conquered nothing. And if you have conquered your mind, you'll be satisfied in any condition. Chanakya Pandit was a great sage. He was living in a hut. His king promised, his king offered him a royal palace to live in. But he was content because he was engaged in serving the Lord. The one who serves the Lord is content in every situation. He is satisfied in every situation. In the ninth canto, you read the story of Vamandeva. The Lord incarnated as Vamandeva, and he appeared in the sacrificial arena of Vali Maharaj. Vali Maharaj was very pleased. When he saw the great sage come, the Vamana, he greeted him and he said, what can I do for you? Vamandeva was God who was going to reveal one of his pastimes. The Lord said, okay, if you want to give me something, give me enough land that I can keep 3 footsteps. That's all you want? You come to a king and ask him for a few grains of rice. Ask him for something more. I can give you the whole planet. What is this business? And Vamandeva said, you will give, if a person can't control his mind and senses, even if you give him the whole world, he'll be dissatisfied. And if you can control your mind and senses, you'll be satisfied in any condition. Is that true or false?
Yes.
So we need to control the mind. Once you're in India, dreaming to come to America, am I? Hollywood has done a great job of stirring the world over America. So thanks to Hollywood and all over the world, people want to come to America. So now that you've come to America, are you totally satisfied? No. You want something else. That's the nature of mature life. Whichever you get, as much as you get, will be less than what you think you deserve. You'll never be satisfied. So Vamadeva told Vali Maharaj, one who doesn't control his mind and senses, even if you give him the wealth of the whole world, he will not be satisfied. And if one can control his mind and senses, you will be satisfied in any condition. So Krishna consciousness teaches us the process of becoming satisfied, because it teaches us the process of controlling the mind and the senses. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna further says, he describes the process of living and dying. You know, people talk about philosophy of living. You also need to know philosophy of dying. Am I right? Krishna says, wherever your mind is at the moment of death, that's where the living entity goes. So we should mold our life in such a way that you can think about the Lord and the time of death. So Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is emphasizing the path of devotional service. And how many does devotional service begin with? It begins with what?
Chanting
the holy name of the Lord. This is the foundation of our spiritual life. Chanting a mantra is part of our tradition. Chanting a mantra is not some new phenomenon. The chanting of the mantra is a very old phenomenon. This is going on since time immemorial. So by chanting the holy name of the Lord, you can find happiness. The material desires are so strong in our heart that you can't give them up just by desiring. But if you have a positive alternative, then you can give it up. And many times we recognize the value of this spiritual education, but we tend to think, what's the hurry? After all, I'm only 50 years old. Let me wait another 20 or 30 years. Then I'll take to the spiritual life. But the scriptures, to counteract this, say that there's danger at every step. Every step there's danger. You never know which will be your last breath. Is that true or false? In America, do they have agencies that guarantee how long you're going to live? Do they? No. Even now, the life expectancy may be 80 or 90. People are dying in every age group. There's nothing but danger at every step. And everything is temporary. And there's nothing but misery. But Krishna is offering you a path. He can free you from this entanglement. Unfortunately, when something is offered free, we don't value it much, all right? But if you want to sell this thing in a package, it may attract people. So, Krishna's instructions are free. Krishna says, surrender to me, and I will protect you. You go for a job, your employer tells you, work 40 hours a week, and this will be your remuneration. And we accept it, isn't it? But when Krishna says, send it to me, I will protect you, we tend to have doubts. Therefore, it is recommended we be in spiritual association. This is known as sadhu sangha. So all of you come to the Bhakti Ritual program here. This is another medium in which you have spiritual association. They say birds of the same feather flock together. So those are spiritually inclined. They tend to flock with others who are also spiritually inclined. And spiritual association is a must if we want spiritual life. Spiritual association keeps reminding us of what we should be doing, what's right, what's wrong. And you can see, if others can do it, why can't I do it? Am I right? It's not that this Krishna consciousness movement is presenting something absolutely new. This is our tradition. This is coming down this path since thousands of years. So take advantage of devotee association. Sometimes when you associate too much with devotees, we tend to fall fine. We tend to look at the weak points. Better to look at the good points. And Sharanam Kirtanam is a means by which we can cleanse the heart and discover real health. So our request is, please understand this Krishna conscious philosophy. This is not something new. This is not something patented by ISKCON. This is what the Lord has told us 5,000 years ago. And this is knowledge. It is coming out through the discipline of Krishna. And what does Krishna say in the end? Send it to me, and I will protect you from all sinful creatures. What is the famous verse? Sarva dhammam paritajya. Aham tvam sarva. Mokana maasaja. Maasaja aham means do not worry. Krishna says, do not worry. You surrender to me. I will protect you fully. So, can anyone offer you better protection than Krishna? Can Uncle Sam offer you better protection than Krishna? The insurance policy is no one there. Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke. Krishna wants to protect. No one can harm. If Krishna wants to harm. So you're very fortunate. You're getting exposed to devotional service. It is said that Brahmanda Pravede Kuna Bhagavan Ji, Guru Krishna Kripa Pai Patri Bhagi Vatavi, as we're going through so many births, you see the fortunate soul who receives knowledge about the importance of devotional service. So all of you are very fortunate. You came to America with different ambitions. But having come here, you got connected to the devotees and you're trying to pursue spiritual life. So please do it with utmost determination. Determination is a very important characteristic on the devotional path. Because when you come to spiritual life, many people will try and discourage you. But if you're determined, then Krishna will help. What is that famous phrase? God helps those
who help themselves.
You're endeavoring to become Krishna conscious, Krishna will help you. You take one step towards Krishna, Krishna will take 10 steps towards you. Krishna wants to protect you. Krishna is guaranteeing your eternal happiness. But please follow his instruction. So this chanting of the holy name, studying the Bhagavad Gita, associating with devotees, being enthusiastic, are all means by which you can get a love of God. So please chant, stay with devotee association, and be determined to perfect your life. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I wanted to leave time for questions. I thought you all may have some questions. Yes. Please feel free to ask questions. If you feel that you don't agree with something, please point it out. We'd be happy to hear.
Guru Maharaj, you were telling about offering, making an offering to the Lord, with love and devotion. So, out of two cases, like if you buy a clover bread for the Lord and make an offering,
versus
what if you prepare at home nicely, same stuff and offer to the Lord, which will satisfy the Lord more.
You make yourself an offer. Because you're buying something from outside, you don't know what mentality the person who prepared it has. Maybe he's a beef eater, he's a woman, and a drunkard.
Sweets
is different. Depends where you buy it from. Some practical questions. Questions? Yes. You are all educated people, so ask questions.
Maharaj, you mentioned that you should know the life.
Pardon?
Like in Grihastha Ashram, we go to work and
you know,
things like that. So how do we
more
like, could you give more details on that?
Most devotees, in ISKCON, 97% of the devotees do jobs, businesses, and 3 to 5% of the devotees are full-time preachers or mendicants or brahmacharis and sannyasis. Now, naturally you have to earn money also, isn't it? What does the government pay if it says it doesn't know Hare Krishna? They don't pay up the business. So you have to work. So to kind of protect yourself from the atmosphere in the job, business, you should chant the holy name. Read Gita Bhagavatam. Make your spiritual life strong so that you can be protected. This path of Krishna consciousness, if you follow the rules and regulations, then that will protect you, just like the doctor tells you, take this medicine 4 times a day, every 6 hours. The logic is, if you take it every 6 hours, then it will kill the germs and make you healthy. So Prabhupada gave us the formula, chanting 16 namas, following regulated principles. If you do that, that's associated with devotees. Then you have the spiritual strength to go on. Yeah? Okay? And then that will help you to even think of Krishna. But if you don't chant, just like there was a cartoon, the husband was telling, one man was telling another, chant, chant, chant. Somebody else will think, can't, can't, can't. So, but if you chant, then the chanting will help you and protect you against Maya. Yes?
Raj, if people have like other material goals, can they continue to pursue the material goals while going towards the spiritual path, or do they have to give up the material goals?
Depends what material goal you have. Suppose you're being a, like, let's say you're a IT man, software business. So your goal is, you want to make a company, the number one software company in the world. No problem. You want to be the best student in town. No problem. But your goal is, I want to have maximum sense enjoyment. And that's unreliable. It depends what your goal is. We have so many students. They make the goal to get the best of education. Okay. It's Gopal Hari, Gopal Hari Shaman. So, this is Gopal Hari. He was born in a Krishna conscious environment. He wanted a good education, he became a writer at a young age. So he went on a scholarship and got his PhD from Oxford University. So, we don't say, if you're Krishna conscious, you can't get the best of education, you can't get the best of skills, you can. In fact, our experiences, even students in India, in many parts of the world, we have thousands of students practicing Krishna consciousness. And they do exceedingly well in their studies, in their jobs, because of chanting and associating with devotees, they give up bad habits. Bad habits are on the brain. Okay? Yes?
Maharaj, you mentioned about the surrender in the process. So, as a dreamer, what is the first step, or what is the process to surrender it?
First step is to start chanting the holy name. Unless we chant the holy name, the heart will not begin to get cleansed. It has been proven beyond doubt that this chanting the holy name works wonders. So, and even in your own case. How many years ago you started chanting?
So, like 5 years.
Okay, 5 years ago you got exposed to the chanting, you started chanting and you started feeling a difference in your life.
It's a lot more difference.
Yeah. So, this is a process that we all have experienced. We don't say, take something blindly. Try it. If you don't like it, stop it. If you like it, continue. You know, these big stores, they offer you warranty. Return it within 30 days. So you can stop chanting anytime. But generally when people try it, they find it satisfying. More questions? Yes.
Maharaj, how do we evaluate the actions or activities we are doing is for pleasure of Krishna? For example, making a lot of money and having exceeding desires to, you know, be big in society or, you know, all these things.
In spiritual life, you also need a spiritual teacher or a guide or a mentor. But you need somebody who is guiding you. In every sphere of our life, we have a guide, isn't it? Even if you want to learn driving, you have to go to a driving school. You want to learn swimming, you have to go to a swimming school. So even for spiritual life, we need guidance. Let's say your goal is, well, let's say it's not your goal, we still make millions. No problem. If you're a devotee of the Lord, build temples of the Lord. You know, I was in the Middle East, and I saw in the Middle East, every 25 steps there's a mosque. Not every 5 minutes. So I asked the local devotees, who built these mosques? Is it the government? The sheikh? They said, no. Individuals. Among them, when he makes money, before he makes his own house, he'll make Allah's house. Then make his house. So all these are mosques have been built by businessmen. Whereas in a Hindu family, the principle would probably be, first make houses for 10 generations, and then if something is left over, give that change to Krishna. Isn't it? Probably, am I right?
Yes.
First make enough for 10 generations.
Yes.
So, in Russia, I work a lot in Russia. In Russia you see so many churches. In Moscow alone, at one time, there were 3,000 churches. 3,000. And you see these churches, 30, 35 years ago, they were run down because in the communist regime, they were ignored. But now, if you go see any church, even in a small village, I've been to villages where 10 years ago that I saw the church was run down. But today when you go, you see gold-plated domes, gold foil, shiny. Who puts this money? The local businessmen, the local people. They feel it's a duty to make the church look beautiful. So, if you have success, use success to serve the Lord. If you use success to serve yourself, you will take on all the karma. The laws of karma are very severe. You earn $1, 1 rupee. You earn $1, you will commit so many sinful acts. All that karma goes to your account. But if you serve, offer to the Lord, then you get exempted. Okay? Any more questions? Yes?
In temples and any places like even in India or any temples for that matter, they do abhishekam, they do lots of rituals in
yeah.
the temples.
Yeah.
That first of all costs a lot of money and there's a lot of people who go hungry. So, I mean,
why should they do that?
Why should they?
Better give the money to poor people, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my question.
So, do you eat every day?
No.
Why don't you stop eating?
Because
Give the money for charity. You can eat rice, chapati and salt, save money, and give the rest of the money for charity. So why should we stop the rituals to the Lord? The rituals to the Lord are there for our purification, you follow. And if everyone becomes purified, then the Lord also protects such a way. Just to say that I want to give my money to the poor people, so I'm not offering it to the Lord. Of course, in a temple, the atmosphere should be such that the principles of purity are maintained. And the preaching must be there. The people are guided on the right path. We build temples, we also feed the poor. And who is poor? You may think that somebody doesn't get enough to eat. Let's say someone has a Mercedes car, lives in a fancy house, but he's not God conscious at all. So he is very unfortunate. Due to our good karma, we take birth in an environment where we get certain facilities. That is good karma of the past. Just like all of you sitting here came from India. You had some good karma. You got an H-1 visa, education, job when you came here. But that's all your past karma. But what are you going to do now? It's going to determine your future. When you're reaping some conveniences and comforts, you're exhausting your good karma. Let's say you have a good karma balance and you're born 100 points. So, as you get these comforts, you're exhausting your quota. Just like when somebody's suffering, he's exhausting the quota of his bad karma. Just like if you have a, let's say you have $1 million and you have a bank loan. So when you pay the bank loan, on the one hand you'll have less cash in your hand, but on the other hand, you reduce your liability. So, past karma has brought you this track this far. But your present actions will determine your future. Any more questions?
The easier ways to teach the Bhagavad Gita concepts to kids, any suggestions in home environment?
We have books for children. In all our temples, we also have Sunday classes. In India, we organize Bhagavad Gita painting contests. And every year, at least 600 to 700,000 children take part, including Muslim and Christian children. We offer them very attractive prizes. At least this way, they study the Bhagavad Gita and take an exam. ISKCON is focusing very heavily on children and youth. In India, in virtually all the IITs, the medical schools, colleges, we have active preaching programs. We have over 100,000 youth who are all IIT graduates and others who are chanting 16 rounds and in training and spiritual life, as well as doing a study.
Thank you.
Yes.
I have a question about preaching. When I try to talk to people about Bhagavad Gita, I get a little bit of trying to convert them. How do I address that?
They say you're trying to convert them. Or you feel you're trying to convert them.
No, some of them tell me directly that
they're
trying to be like a Christian, trying to convert me.
Tell them, I'm your friend. I want you to be happy. I want you to be safe in the cycle of birth and death. So I'm giving you this philosophy. Don't get disturbed, you will continually insult you. Tolerate the insult on behalf of the Lord.
They take it like they have to give up worshipping their God. I mean,
There is only one Supreme Lord. That's the conclusion of the scripture. But, talk to them. But many will also take to it. Any more questions?
Maharaj, can you describe some of the ISKCON activities that go on in India?
Well, we have our main job is education. We are educating people in the higher levels of life, and people, just like many of you are sitting in this assembly, they have all come to America after their studies, and they got exposed to Krishna consciousness. You understand that word, Shailesh?
Shrikant.
This is Bhakti Shrikant. He's come down from Florida. Can you give them a 1 minute history? How he came to Krishna consciousness? He's a PhD candidate.
So I was first actually met a devotee in Berkeley. I took the book from him but never read it. And I went to Salt Lake City. Near Salt Lake City, where there's a temple, I used to go on Sunday feast, but never really got interested in philosophy, but I used to go still. But I went to Gainesville, Florida to do PhD, and there was Krishna House, and I don't know, by association with the devotees, I got interested in learning about Krishna, and I felt all the education I had, you know, even though I'm from India, means nothing was satisfying, you know, I was more worried about problems of the world, and nothing has been solved and everything is so chaos. So I felt in the association of devotees and teachings of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, you see a lot of things are already addressed. And I think I built a faith after that, and since then I've been associating devotees.
Started the chanting process.
Just started chanting process and following the regulative principles prescribed by senior devotees. And
So anyway, this is just one example. We have thousands of examples of people who are. At one time, he was also like in your shoes. But then he came in contact with devotees, started chanting, and the whole life changed. So this is called education. Education doesn't mean necessarily we just something about physics and chemistry and computers. Education means knowledge by which you destroy ignorance. Then in India we have, in many parts of the world we have, Food for Life program. In India we have a program called Midday Meal, where we serve midday meals to nearly 20 lakh children a day. And we have schools, we go to schools, colleges, there are nearly 700 centers around the world. And our goal is to make people happy. But we want to give them real happiness, not false happiness. Where a mature society wants to give you false happiness, we want to give you real happiness. Have you ever been to any of our temples in India? Bombay Temple?
Sure.
You've been? Hey, Vrindavan? Hyderabad? Okay. When you meet the IT group, the majority was always from Bombay. You know, I have a joke. When I was in America 35 years ago, we would go to someone's house. You would never get any dosas or anything. Now wherever you go, you get dosas and everything. And we have so many devotees from the south. Okay. I don't mind 71, 72, we'll be happy. Yeah.
While you are in Krishna consciousness, is it okay to celebrate other festivals like Ganesh Chauti and Navaratri?
You can, no problem. But start chanting first. As you chant, your awareness, your ability to discriminate will get sharper and sharper. How many of you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly? You know, sometimes we get our Hindu brothers and sisters to chant, it's tougher than pulling teeth. You don't know what a dentist is, pulling teeth is, you get your breath. So, sometimes it's tough. But also I must say, I guess one has hundreds of thousands of devotees in India also now. In Andhra we have 20 temples. But now people are changing. They're seeing so much misery all around. And they're taking the real thing. Okay, anything else? Any other Sangha, anything else? I was told the program will finish in time, so. So how many of you come regularly to the Bhakti Rikshas here? You also get trained up and then start your own coaching classes. That is how we work. In material life, nobody wants competition, isn't it? In spiritual life, you are happy to give the secrets of success to everyone. You want everyone to become successful on this path. So all of you should all, how many rounds do you attend? Something good, you should embrace it right away, isn't it? Anyhow, everyone sitting here, even the Vivan Ram Kisari and all, at one time they were all in the same boat as you are. Alright?
Yes,
then it's not that they're chanting from the birth or from the young age. They all got exposed to Krishna consciousness here. But they started chanting. And this chanting will give you greater satisfaction. And watching movies on the TV, or watching TV or gossiping and so on. And in this part of the world, life is such, you have more conveniences than other parts of the world. So it's easier to take the chanting process here. The only thing that holds us back is our own laziness. Alright? You all have plenty of time. So you all work 8 hours a day, you have good highways to drive your car on, you know, you need a comfortable life, you know. And even if you want to reciprocate with Krishna for bringing you here, you should chant. At least you know one thing, chanting won't hurt. So why hesitate? And there's no guarantee how long one is going to live in any case. So thank you very much.